Welcome to the Women Who Empower Quarterly Fireside Chat, a gathering where inspiring women come together to share their journeys, wisdom, and bold visions for the future. Hosted by myself, Dr. Alicia M. Strotter, Chief Editor of Women Who Empower Chronicle. This is more than a conversation. It's a movement to uplift, connect, and ignite the power within us all. So grab a seat, lean in, and let's embark on a transformative journey of empowerment and purpose. Welcome to the Women Who Empower Fireside Chat with Dr. Alicia, myself, and a special guest, Frances Richard, as we chat about art that touches the soul and speaks to everyone.
Super excited to be interviewing Frances Richard, correct?
Richard.
So is it a French last name or?
So my husband's family is from New Orleans, so it's a Creole name. So the correct spelling is Guichard, but most people just say Guichard or something like that.
Oh,
so
Guichard. Okay.
Guichard.
Oh,
the D is silent, and it's Guy.
Oh, is ghee. Okay.
Right.
Oh my God. So I'm learning something new. I kind of figured, but I said, this is a perfect time to ask, right? So let's talk a little bit about your background. I mean, you are in the art industry world, and there's so much to you. So talk about your journey into this industry.
Well, my name is Frances Guichard. I am an artist, curator, collector, and co-owner of Gallery Guichard. And I have to say, I started out in a completely different industry. I started out as the director of the food protection program for the city of Chicago here. And I was worked with many people I had under me who I managed. And so when I met Andre and I got together in a way that was unique, because most people are artists don't come together. And I was not an artist at the time when I first started. So that's what's interesting about this relationship, because I was not an artist. I loved art. And when I met Andre, he invited me out to an event that he was receiving where he was receiving the Artist of the Year Award. And because it was a black tie affair. I did not have my purse at the time, so I did not have a business card. I had to rely on telephone to kind of contact him and get involved with the arts. And then when he invited me to the award, I came out and enjoyed meeting his family, his friends, and enjoyed the artwork. And so he received his award, and then I was able to hang with him afterwards, and we've been together ever since. And through that, I became an artist by working in his studio while he was doing serious work, playing around and dabbling in his paints, as he would say, his expensive paints. And I started working and just enjoying the feel of the mediums and putting things on canvas, making mistakes, and then creating something that turned out to be a professional looking piece. And so my mom was always very creative. She was a seamstress and she sold and she made everything. So she was knitting, sewing, crocheting, painting, a little bit of everything. So I kind of grew up around it. And I also lived in a neighborhood where there was an art gallery. So I got a chance at an early age to be able to see an art gallery where I could go in as a child and marvel at the original paintings that I saw and meet some of the artists that I didn't realize that one day would be really famous, you know, so like Annie Lee.
Yes.
So when I started doing the work. It was one time where I wasn't selling at the time. I was just creating. Andre asked me to participate in the event they were having at his studio, where artists were going to put up their works and then auction them off. So I created one and signed it, put it into the auction, thinking, see what happens.
Right.
People were hammering after it. They were bidding on it, and the bid kept rising. I think I started out at $200 and ended up at $800. So I was so excited that I continued to paint, took my artwork down to Florida, and in Florida, I would sell out, come back with nothing, and then create again for the next show, sell it out, and then come back with nothing. One time I came back with something, and Andre said, put it in the gallery. I put it in the gallery, and it immediately sold. So my work is three-dimensional. It's a three-dimensional mixed media. I use sand, acrylic, oil, and heavy gel. And I create landscapes because we traveled to South Africa. And in South Africa, I saw the people moving and migrating about. And it gave me a sense of purpose. This was our very first trip to Africa. And in that sense of purpose, I realized that my artwork is more than just beauty. It tells a story. And that story tells us about the travels of our people, where we came from, and how we migrated all over the world. So my artwork not only speaks to African Americans, it speaks to everyone, because we all came out of Africa. And we all spread out all over the world.
Yes.
So it takes you back to antiquities. It takes you back to our ancestors and the struggles. And I talk about all of those things through my artwork just by visiting South Africa and seeing the amazing landscape. The sun was setting. It was beautiful. And in that, I create sand, acrylic, mixed media, where you see people they look as though they're protruding or coming out of the canvas.
Wow.
And the sun's different shapes, shades of the dawn or the sunrise. It's just something I find that resonates with people, and it gives them joy.
I'm just loving your journey. And I heard a lot in that. But is it what you would call very innovative, very in tune of what the world of art is when you start to create? Do a person have to really have a lot of that, or does it come about when you just start painting? So that innovative ability, that ability to think outside the box when you go into South Africa and you look at all of these artifacts and just look at the world itself there. Do you have to have a lot of that innovation in you already?
I think everybody's an artist. You know, it just depends on what level and how you put yourself out there. My brother was a business owner. And so, you know, it was something that I always aspired to do. Being around Andre and the art just helped me to round all that out and to be able, he actually showed me how to be a professional artist. So I took all those skills that I had growing up with the experience of being around the art and art gallery, with what my mom taught me around using the materials that are available to me, to Andre helping me understand how to professionally put it all together, and being my, you know, teacher and my muse at the same time, it really helped me be able to shape the type of art I create and to understand that I'm not doing it just for me. I do it for people to enjoy, but out of it is my soul that I put onto the canvas and hopefully allow people to enjoy as they view it and live with it. And I've heard, you know, different collectors talk, and they say how happy it makes them feel, or how it connects them back to their ancestors, or how it brings them joy just to know that they have something beautiful in their homes. Mm-hmm. I'm also very happy to say that I'm nationally and internationally collected. So I have artwork also in corporate collections like Kirkland and Ellis law firm, where I did 5x7 pieces, 4 panels, and I have 3 smaller pieces, 4x3. And then I also have artwork at Riley Saper Holmes Cancela law firm as well. So having my artwork in corporate environments really helps me feel connected to people who I will never meet, who will never meet me personally, but who have the ability to see my artwork in their corporations, in their institutions. And by that, I participate in a lot of different art fairs and events around that. Andre and I, we both paint sometimes in the same studio. He's doing his thing, I'm doing mine, but it's the synergy that we get working together and knowing that we're creating something that people love when it comes to our artwork.
So, you know, you're smiling and then I smile because I understand the impact of partnerships. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Who were your role models as you were going through this journey? You kind of talked a little bit about it, but I want to hear you say it. And then how important was it to have those role models to really influence you in your area of art?
So my first role model, of course, is my husband. That's just the way it
is. It is, right?
He's just spectacular. So to have the patience that he has with me to be able to experiment and to learn is wonderful. And it has taken me to where I am today. I also have to say that we used to participate in the New York Black Fine Art Show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bearden, Romare Bearden, just Dr. Burroughs, Elizabeth Catlett. There have been all people that I have enjoyed seeing their artwork. And being able to see the stories that come out of it, the movement, the soul, the experience, the history that comes from creating the works that they created, and being able to put it on canvas and to have it live beyond their lifespan. Posthumously be able to get their message out and be able to affect people in a in a positive way, whether it's because of the struggles of African Americans or because of the love of our family or because it's beautiful or whatever reason they created it, it's still resonating with people today. So they have been some of my role models. And having fairs like the New York Black Fine Art Show or the New Orleans Jazz Fest and places like that are so important to artists because it also gives us a place where we can showcase, but not only showcase, but to be able to keep that history going, to have galleries like Gallery Guichard, to be able to represent artists and help artists to be able to expose and show their artwork. Those are the kind of things that help me be who I am today, because being around artists who are creating professionally inspires another artist. And so being a part of a collective is important. And I realize that you still have value as an individual, even though you are part of a collective. Being part of that collective helps you to uplift that collective and helps each other. We help each other and inspire each other through that collective. So like I said, there's just so many things that have inspired me. I can just go on and on and on.
You know, so it's very important to kind of acknowledge where that foundation has come from and how important role models are, because it certainly is not easy for anyone. And so as I lead into the next question, Talk a little bit about the impact that it is as a woman being in the art industry. Obviously, the role model part is great. Your foundation, obviously, is your husband. That is super great. But I know that there has to be some more impact that you have experienced as a woman artist.
Yes. There are very few women artists. I have to say, when it comes to the balance, there are more men in the industry than there are women. And maybe if there are women, they don't seem to always get the recognition they deserve. So I think it's so important to make sure that we uplift, support, and encourage women to be artists and to figure out how they can get into the professional scene and be able to create works of art. And I have to admit, being an artist is a physical. Not only are you able to create the talent and the beauty, but you also have to have the physicality in somewhat sense, because paintings are heavy. You have to move your painting from your studio to whatever location you're going to display them in. You have to be able to install and hang your artwork. Mm. And I say, you know, my husband pulls out my chair, but he makes me take responsibility for my own work when it comes to moving it and installing it or getting it where it needs to go for any events that we have outside of the gallery. So it can be challenging, but I think that if you can get a team or somebody else to help you be able to move that around. If you can't, I know some amazing women artists like Afe Esse. She's an amazing artist. Pearlie Taylor, 82 years old. So there are so many, and I don't want to talk about all of them, because there's so many of the women that I admire and really feel as though they're able to get their artwork out into the mainstream. Working with galleries help artists. So, if you're a woman, don't be afraid to work with a gallery. You can still do your own thing in a special way. You just work with the gallery that, making sure you understand their protocols and follow the protocols so that you can still benefit from working with a gallery, but also benefit from working on your own. Who says you just got to do it all by yourself when you also have someone else that can help? Of course, you pay for it, but it's worth it. And it helps get your name out there, helps you to get the exposure that you deserve to get. In addition to it, allows you to be represented in the art dealer world, because when they come back to do comps, they look at the galleries and where your artwork has been sold. So you want that recognition. You want to be able to feel that you can work with and trust a gallery or trust other people who are in the gallery field to be able to help you move your artwork. And I know there's some amazing artists, women artists out there. So we want them to be inspired to do more and do greater things.
So that's good. Obviously I'm learning, and I had to grab my pen and paper. I like to take little notes, but I want to go back a little bit, because I think this is important to kind of outline. When a woman is an artist and you say connect to a gallery, is that ultimate what that person should be doing, and instead of just trying to do this on their own? Is that a higher level for that artist? Talk a little more in depth about that, because you're absolutely right. If that is a way to go, creating partnerships give you more exposure. So can you talk a little more about how that would unfold for someone?
Yes. I can't tell a woman how to do her job or how to do her craft or what's best for her. However, what I can say is that, if you decide to go on your own, certainly, that's fine. You don't have to do it through a gallery. There are a lot of artists who are able to push their work out there and work through collectors or whomever to get their work focused out and shown. However, by working with an art gallery, you are able to get that additional help that you might need to get that push. Some people are just into creating, and they don't know how to get their artwork out. They don't know how to market it. They don't know how to present it. And so a gallery can help them with that. There is a commission structure. And of course, you split that commission with the artist and the gallery. So it's important to understand what the protocols are for that gallery. Every gallery is different. But it can be very much worth your time and effort to work with a collaborative method in order to make sure that you are getting and opening up doors that would not ordinarily be available to you. It allows you to have that partnership where you can trust the gallerist and the gallerist trust you to work with their clients, where they build the client base and then they showcase your artwork and expose your artwork to their client base. Mm. And that allows you to have more opportunity and exposure. Lots of times we work with artists and give them great opportunities of creating sculptures for corporations or having works in a corporate facility, making sure that their name, their bio, their information is out there. Even for me, and most of our artists that we work with have works right now that are in the Thomas, it's the library for the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And our artwork is showcased there in that library so people can do research on our artists. Wow. So when we're gone, they'll still be researching us. But galleries can provide that type of opportunities for artists that may not necessarily have those opportunities.
Yeah, it's the exposure. I love it. I love it. So let's talk some more about that global exposure that you have. And you talked a little bit about it. How far is your expansion of that, you know, worldwide? Is what continents, what countries, you know, what type of culture of people that you see the most buying the artwork when you internationally? So let's talk a little bit about that.
So we've traveled to Africa 10 times, 8 different countries, South Africa, Dakar, Senegal, Ethiopia, Egypt, Seychelles, Tanzania, Zanzibar, and Lagos, Nigeria. And in each of those locations, we source artists. And so we look for artwork from the diaspora. And, you know, we also have traveled to Cuba and various other places, France, where the diaspora is. And so wherever the spreading out of the African people are, we go to those locations and look for artists that we can bring back, provide exposure for them, and be able to then showcase to provide exposure for the collectors. Our mission is to expose artists and collectors, creating a platform for artists and collectors to meet, and also specializing in the art of the African diaspora. So we intentionally look for artists that are from that diaspora and be able to tell the stories behind it. Like in Nigeria, we have a show right now called Lagos Nigeria 2, Lagos Treasures 2. And it's artwork from Lagos Nigeria, 2 artists, Elizabeth F. Peckerson and H.K. Locks. And so the artwork that they have are representative not only of people in Nigeria, but people all over the world of African descent. And some Elizabeth's work is more cubist, and then it gives you the movement and complexity of different movements around yoga, where HK's work is more about nudes and the body image and self-image and understanding confidence and also imagery of faces with different colors. And we also have another artist, his name is Yummy, who also is from Lagos, Nigeria. And his work is of elegant women with landscapes behind them and in a very beautiful scene with a glass of wine, or she's elegant with her legs crossed. And so this gives artists a platform for them to be able to showcase in the United States. Andre has taken his work to Cuba and many other places as well, where he's showcasing the African diaspora through music and jazz. He was inspired by his grandfather, who was a famous jazz musician in New Orleans. And so those stories are being told in Cuba and being told elsewhere, where he's able to take his artwork to as well, or if we take our artwork into those locations. So it's the sharing of information through art. It's the sharing of the culture and understanding that we are all the same people, and helping people to understand that we all came out of Africa. Even during the slave trade, your sister may have gone to Cuba, your brother may have gone to the Dominican Republic, your other brother may have gone to the United States, but we are all part of that same bloodline. You've lost contact because of slavery, but we all have that connection. And so when we travel, we actually see a lot of people that look like people we know. We'll go to Africa and it's like, that looks just like your cousin. That looks like my friend, you know, because we all have that same connectivity. And so it's important to tell those stories. I think art opens the doors to many worlds and it softens the conversation. Lots of times people are afraid to connect with each other, but art opens that door for conversation, connectivity, mm-hmm. and respect.
Yeah. And I love that it opens the door for conversation. Yeah. Because, you know, I am looking at, I mean, that painting behind you, Frances, it's just gorgeous. The color, you know, the red, the orange, and then the lady with the hat. I mean, that's a whole conversation. So I want to go into that, you know, how inspiring it is to either select the colors and the texture, you know, what, just how does it come about? You know, because you have to be really, really special when it comes to that creativity, because I'm telling you, it's so vibrant, but it's something about that painting that I keep glancing at. But tell us a little more about how that person gets to the color, the richness of it.
So this show is a solo show by Lakin Akintola. He is a Nigerian artist who resides in London, and he uses heavy gel acrylic paint. And so there's texture in that. And his color palettes are all based on different scenarios. Sometimes you'll see the vibrant colors that are enhancing each other. And then sometimes you'll see a muted color on some of his images. But it all conveys what he wants to say in the painting. The beauty, the heat, the energy about what's happening in that painting. And in the one behind me, she has energy. She's vibrant. She's beautiful. She's out there. And, you know, she is confident. So when you look at her, you look at the painting and feel, that's confidence. I love that because it makes me feel confident. So it resonates with the viewer, the audience. And so, you know, lots of times artists will select colors based on what they're feeling. They may not know right away what colors they're going to put into their palette. But once they do, it starts coming together and forming into what the beauty that they're creating.
And it's like one of those moments, it has to hit them, right? You know, you got to feel it. So you could be, what, 2 a.m. and you finally comes and you're up all night, you know, painting, because that's when it hit you. Almost like a writer, right?
Absolutely. There are many sleepless nights or very short sleeping nights.
Right. Because
once you get into it, you look up and before you know it, it's 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You're like,
my goodness. When it didn't hit me until 12.
Exactly. It's so much fun, you know? Yeah. And I think anytime you can enjoy what you do,
yes,
and put your passion out there, then it's not work. It's fun. It's it's cathartic. You're just able to purge and put all of your feelings out, your emotions out. Sometimes we have artists who do social justice art, and they're able to tell a story and to resonate with an artist about, you know, the power of the people and understanding our worth and our who we are and what we've done in the world and how we can overcome a lot of the issues that are happening to us. And so, or the things that are happening to us and the issues that we find in our path that may be prohibiting us from moving forward. So art tells a story. Art can be cathartic. Art can be healing. And so we also have art, the wellness of art, art of wellness. And it's important to know that art can, in your space, can make you feel amazing and keep you posted and keep you focused on what you need to do or where you need to go in life.
I mean, I love it. Art of wellness. So let's talk a little bit. We talked about partnerships and your role models, but I know you do much more for youth and or individuals who are struggling in this world. So let's talk about your philanthropic part of your world of art.
Sure. I just want to say, too, that, you know, in 2005, we opened Gallery Guichard, our for-profit business, myself, Andre, and another partner, Stephen Mitchell. Mm-hmm. So that was our for-profit. We've been in business now for 19 years, getting ready to celebrate 20 years in business.
That's big.
And that's big. We also have a nonprofit that Andre and I created. It's called Building Community Foundation. And that nonprofit is for us to be able to give back, because it's important to make sure that if you're in the community, you have to give back to uplift your community. And the way we do that is by working with other nonprofits who are doing amazing things for the youth. And so we raise funds and raise money. And every year we have a ball or some type of fundraiser where we create an experience for our guests that give. And then, you know, we might have a comedian, or we might just have music in each room. We'll have food and libation. And it's just an energetic event where people can dance and freely get to mingle within the art space, but yet be able to donate to the nonprofit. And now we've given over $70,000. And we also this last time gave $12,000 to a nonprofit that helps young people. It's called 350 Scholars. And they help young people create media. They do, it's like a magazine. They will also do video recordings and promotions, marketing, all of that. So it helps the young people understand how they can move through the world in a professional career that they would never have had before. So the monies that we raise have done so many amazing things for young people. And it's also centered around the arts.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's another connection, you know, you highlighting these young people who have that artistic ability to do art. Can see it in a whole different way because of the exposure that the art gallery is providing and the foundation is providing for them. Has there been a time where one of the young people that you have supported through your charity has come up in the ranks and started doing art, you know, on a larger scale, or has that ever happened yet?
We had artists that we've helped come through and want to work with us and do other things. When, you know, with the skills that they've learned. Also, we've had the ability to work with interns through Chicago Public Schools and also work with students through the Chicago Public Schools teaching them art. And a lot of those young people either come back and work with us, the interns do, or the students will come back and say, I remember when you came to my school. So those kind of things help us to stay engaged with the youth. Yes. We also do a trolley tour. The trolley takes you to different galleries in Bronzeville. We are the founding members of the trolley tour. 18 years now. It's no longer a trolley. We've moved up. We now have double-decker buses.
Good. You know, that's growth, Francis.
Take you to different places around, knowing that this a tourist spot. So it just drives around Bronzeville. We have two of them. They continuously rotate. They take you to the different galleries, and then they get to explore here at Gallery Guichard and the Bronzeville Artist Lofts. We reside in a building that is historic. Bronzeville Artist Lofts are a space where artists live and work, and they're able to produce artwork. Some of them sell artwork here in the gallery, and some sell out of their studios. But because we have the art tour, it opens up the door for people to come from all over the world, all over the city, to be able to experience art, music, dance, all in one night, every third Friday of the month between June and September. It's a really great space to be able to, you know, see artwork. We do openings. We have a solo show for our artists during June and September, and maybe sometimes we'll expand it out to October. But those solo shows, like we have back here for Lacan, allows an artist to create a body of work and be able to showcase all at once. And Lacan sold over 11 pieces at his opening. So yes, it's like.
So that's huge. It sounds like it's huge to me. Yeah. Yes, over 11 pieces for one artist in a nighttime. That's right. Yeah.
As well as many of our other artists who are able to do the same thing. So, you know, having that exposure gives them the opportunity to be able to, you know, have people come and have, you know, the ability to enjoy artwork in a safe space, in a space that doesn't say you have to come in here and buy artwork, but to come in and just be able to enjoy the moment, meet new people, to be able to enjoy the music with DJs and a violinist or a harpist or, you know, other people who create music for us. Yeah. I'm sorry, not a harpist, but a bass.
Well, you know, it all sounds good to me, Frances.
Yes.
It's elegant, it's, you know.
Fun.
Yeah.
It's elegant, fun.
Yes. And that is exactly what I'm feeling as you're talking. Like, this has got to be the most nicest thing to do. And what was coming across my mind was, and I don't know if people still say this, starving artist. Do they still say that about artists that are trying to make a name for themselves or create, you know, exposure? Do they still call them that? Because to me is, I think you guys have changed that if they are still saying that about certain artists coming up the ranks.
Artists maybe think that, but I think that artists today have the ability to work with more, outlets, I might say. There are art fairs, there's galleries, they can go out on their own. But I think that, you know, being an artist can be challenging, you know, if you're a solely an artist, because you have to continuously sell your artwork to feed your family or to feed yourself. Right. So to do that, you really do have to have other skills like understanding marketing, understanding how to build relationships with people, how to sell your artwork, and then how to make sure that you provide good customer service. So not only are you an artist today, you really are a whole business as an artist.
Just thinking that. Like, okay, she's going down my road. Now I'm very familiar. I mean, you're talking about a business. And I think too, and you really did it really well and to state that throughout this discussion, is this is a whole business. So it's not only just about creating the product, which is the artwork and, you know, all what you have to put into it. But there's a business side to it that you have to now have those skill sets. If you can't pay anybody, which probably if you've been focusing so much on your artwork, which is your artistry and in your true talent, you probably don't have all of the things that you kind of discuss. So to my point is, what happens? Is it where they need to hurry up and connect to an art gallery so that they can get that support? You know, what do a person do? Because you really are a business at this point.
Going back to partnerships and collaborations, working with people, finding out what your strengths are, knowing your SWOT, your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, and then where you can bring in other people to help you with those weaknesses, or where are your threats? What are they? How can you eliminate those? How can you create opportunity for yourself based on your strengths? So how can you be unique as an artist and working with what you have out there, what tools are out there for you? And being able to stay consistent and consistently out there, because once you start, you know, you're only as good as your last piece.
Exactly.
What have you done for me lately? They really want to see you continuously working and creating value for the customer, creating value for that collector. So, you know, whatever avenues are out there, I think artists should go for them and try to make the best of it. Staying true to themselves, understanding that, you know, you're creating this work, but, you know, stay true to yourself, but understand that working with people doesn't mean that you're not able or capable. You're just using smart sense.
Yes.
Being able to find out how you can work with people that can help you move your artwork, move the needle forward for you, while understanding that you're working together, helping each other. It's not all about you. It's about working together and how we can help each other.
Yeah. Power in partnerships. That's what I say.
Power in partnerships.
And the right partnerships.
That's right.
There's different levels of partnerships. But
it
has to be the right one.
It's like a mate.
Yeah.
You know, like selecting a mate. When
exactly.
you select a mate, you've got to be the right mate. You could end up divorced. It may happen. But if you select the right mate, then it could last forever. And it could be a great relationship. And one that is built on respect and, you know, and making sure that you're trying to help each other.
Yes. And that's so true and so valuable. I already said, I'm going to lean on you for some advice.
Well, when it comes to business, you know, we have to do it all. You know, you got the back of the house and you got the front of the house.
Right.
Most people only see the front of the house. They don't see the back of the house, all the paperwork that goes along with it, the taxes you have to pay, all of the marketing you get the people out. They don't just come. That build it and they will come. You got to make sure you build it. You got to get them out there so they can see it and enjoy it and feel connected to it. That you got to create the synergy around it.
Yes. And it doesn't happen overnight.
It does not happen overnight. It is not the overnight success. Everybody sees that. They know the story. They don't. They know the glory, not the story.
Exactly.
So, like I said, we've been in business now for almost 20 years. So it's been a while.
Yes.
And then we also have, you know, a great website that allows people to come out and be able to experience artwork, even though the show is over. So like this show by Lacken and many others, it has been put on our website with our virtual exhibition catalogs. Those virtual exhibition catalogs were created out of necessity through COVID. So sometimes you might think in your travels or through your journey in the business of art that, oh, it's difficult. I'm not going to make it. Times, you know, the economy is down. You got to always keep thinking about how you can change the dynamic.
Yes.
How can you make a way out of nothing? How can you create something unique and fill a void? So we created the virtual exhibition catalog, and that allows us to have an exhibit in the gallery. People can drop down into the gallery, see the show the way it is, and then be able to click on the tags and get the label information, title, medium, artist, price, and they can contact us. And then we can then move the product into their beautiful homes so they get a chance to have amazing artwork. And that allows for people to purchase even after the show has ended and be able to see the show the way it was on that very first day. They can also be able to pass it on to other people.
Yes.
So people all over the world can go to the website and see now number 44. We created 44 virtual exhibition catalogs since COVID. And that allows people to go in, hear stories from the artists, hear their artist talk, be able to hear information from myself and Andre, and to be able to just truly engage and enjoy art that touches the soul.
I love it. You know, I was writing notes for that part. So as we get ready to end, is there any, what I would say, words of wisdom or anything that you want to leave with the article as a closing statement to empower women who are probably struggling with this very topic, whether it's, you know, being in a business and don't have the supports similar to what you have, or even a role model that they wish they would have? You know, do you want to leave some type of empowering words, encouraging words?
Sure. I would say first, it has to come from within. You have to have confidence in who you are, have passion around what you do, and to do it to the best of your ability. Now, that may not necessarily take you to the next level. However, partnerships, working with people, gathering information, building relationships, networking can move you forward. Once you build your foundation, build yourself a platform to move yourself forward. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. It is up to you to build your legacy and the way you want people to remember you. It is up to you to be able to move your items to the forefront to make people realize what you're trying to say through your artwork. So I would say, stay focused, stay on it, don't give up, keep working at it, and just enjoy the journey.
Thank you for joining us at the Women Who Empower Quarterly Fireside Chat. Together, we've shared stories, sparked ideals, and strengthened our community of trailblazing women. Keep the fire burning by staying connected and continuing the conversation. Until next time, remember, your voice, your story, and your dreams hold the power to inspire and uplift the world. See you at our next Fireside Chat.